Good morning, church. Once again, a great joy to be with you this morning. I do recognize we have visitors. I have already welcomed you. I want to extend again that sense of welcome to you. You are welcome in the house of the Lord. Please visit us again. And I can see my friend, one of the international speakers in our context of Reformed churches, my brother, Pastor Newton Chilungulu, is also with us from Malawi. He was preaching in this church 2 months ago, I think, and is going to be preaching here probably soon again. May the good Lord bless you all as we come to the worship through the preaching of the Word of God. Friends, I want to draw your attention this morning to John chapter 3. If you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3, and I will read only 2 verses, verses 14 and 15. The title of this message, Jesus Lifted Up For You. Jesus Lifted Up For You. I will read John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And also, since Jesus is quoting a text that is found in the Old Testament, I will also read then Numbers 21 from verse 4 to verse 9. Those who are using the Pew Bibles, it will be page 888. John chapter 3, it reads as follows. This is Jesus speaking. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Let's turn then to Numbers 21. I'm reading from verse 4 to 8. Those of the Pew Bibles, page 129. But you can also listen as I read through. The Bible says, from Mount Or, they set out by the way to the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loot this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray for us. Pray for us that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if a serpent bites anyone, he will look at the bronze serpent and live. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. The chief end of man, the grand purpose of all of life, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And for that to happen, we argue, we teach, the Bible tells us, the Bible informs us that man, me and you, we must behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He who brings joy, peace, and happiness, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John is written as a defense of the deity of Christ, a defense of that divine nature of Jesus. It is a proof and evidence that Jesus is God in the flesh, the God-man. John writes so that we may believe. He says that as he continued to write his his book. Says we must believe. He writes so that we may believe. Believe in order to obtain eternal life. And that is what Nicodemus is about to find out. And I hope, church, that this will also be helpful to us as well. I hope that this will drive us to see the reason why we are bound to thank God for Jesus. The chapter before us, chapter 3, it is a chapter about the great truth of regeneration. The inception, the beginning, if you will, the beginning of a new state of things, in contrast to the things of the past, in contrast with the old. Jesus is about to explain very clear here what lies ahead of him because of us. I'm going to repeat myself. Jesus is about to explain into details to Nicodemus about what is about to unfold in his life because of me and you. Jesus is about to explain that his death will not be an accident. His death will not be a mistake, but an orchestrated plan from above. God made plan, an orchestrated plan by God himself, the governor of history. He who knows the end from the beginning, because he predestined the end before it begins. God himself orchestrates a plan for salvation for men, for you and for me. John 3, verse 14 and 15 is one of the popular and familiar passages of Scripture. A passage which elaborates the gospel. A passage which elaborates the power of God for salvation. A passage which elaborates clearly what is the source of all thanksgiving. Nicodemus is about to find out that he needed something greater than what he thought he had. That his need is infinitely greater than he had ever imagined. And I want us to see that this morning. That our need is greater than religion. That our need is greater than head knowledge. Our need is greater than knowing verses and coming to church. The first thing I want us to see from this passage is that salvation is necessary. That is what we stand for in this church. That is what the Bible is written for. This is what we preach. Unless I preach this message, I would rather not preach. Unless you come here to this church to listen to a message, and the message that comes through is not this message, you rather stay home because you're wasting your time. Salvation is necessary. Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, a member of the Sanhedrin. A Sanhedrin was a governing body of the Jewish system of the time, Judaism, that religious system that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to Jesus by night. The Bible does not tell us why he came to Jesus by night. Perhaps he wanted to save himself from embarrassment. Perhaps he was busy during the day. I don't know. Perhaps he did not want to be seen as a popular, well-known leader without answers. He didn't want to be seen as that popular, well-known leader who is empty from the inside. So he comes to Jesus by night. He begins to speak to Jesus. He says in verse number 1, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. But I want you to notice what Jesus does. Jesus does not entertain that statement of great honor that comes from Nicodemus. He goes straight to the need of all human beings. Jesus tells Nicodemus of his greatest need and how that greatest need can be fulfilled. A need to be born again. A need to be reconciled with God. A need to be recreated, to be created anew by the Spirit of God, coming into the lives of men, changing men around, making him acceptable before God, raising you from the dead. He says to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, one cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born of God, unless you have come to Jesus, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." You can sense the necessity of salvation in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. 5 times in the above verses, before verse 14 and 15, 5 times the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of being born again. He makes it crystal clear that the new birth happens to us, but not because of us. It happens to us and not by us. To be born again is a gift of life. To be born again is a gift that comes from God. It is a gift direct from Him, for Him, by Him, in Him, through Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus our Lord. And here in verse number 14, where we're having our time today, here in verse number 14, Jesus explained to Nicodemus this way of salvation in a way that will be clearer to Nicodemus, in a way that will be clearer to a Jew of the time, a religious man like him. Jesus says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." He speaks of the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? He refers to the Messiah. Jesus is pointing to himself. "I am that man that was waited for, that was to come. He whom God spoke about through the prophets, says, unto you a son is given, unto us a child is born. The Almighty God, I am He standing before you." That is Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. But he speaks in a way that Nicodemus will understand it. Because from verse 1 down to verse 13, Nicodemus seems to be confused. Jesus says you must be born from above, not that you will go back to your mother's womb and be born again. Nicodemus seems to be confused, but he should have known the scriptures in Isaiah 36. But Nicodemus is still confused. He says you must be born of water and of spirit. Nicodemus is still confused. He says the wind blows everywhere. It blows anywhere it wishes. God regenerates whomsoever He wants. Nicodemus is still confused. Now, Jesus is bringing this to in a context whereby Nicodemus will understand. As Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus makes an illustration which was well known to the people of Israel of the time. He refers to that account. He refers to that incident which happened in the wilderness, whereby the stiff-necked, rebellious people of Israel put God to the test, whereby they complained, they moaned, they groaned in their discontent, they groaned in their unbelief, and consequently the Bible tells us that God sent poisonous snakes to bite them, and many Israelites died in the wilderness. Friends, that is what sin does. Sin kills. Imagine the dead bodies everywhere, but also imagine the snakes running through, living among the people, killing the people day by day. That is the misery caused by sin in the world. Judgment and also death. Proving that God is right, making it clear that God is right. The wages of sin is death. And I think that is what most people refuse to understand. People refuse to understand that sin kills. They refuse to understand that in sin we are the enemies of God. Not because of the sin we have been committing throughout our lives, but because that sin comes as a result of the fact that we are born in sin. Our mothers conceived us in sin. In Adam, we all died. Men refuse to understand that great truth of Scripture, that we inherited a corrupt nature from Adam. And for that fact, we need to be saved. For that fact, we need to be raised to life. Where we just read in Numbers 21, verse 4 to 9, we see that sin brings God wrath. That's one of the things you need to notice, my friends. Sin
brings God's wrath. But we also see the necessity of salvation. Jesus is quoting that scripture, is using that imagery, is using that picture, is using that as an example. Jesus reveals to Nicodemus that all humanity standing before God are rebels. We have rebelled against God, just as the people of Israel rebelled against him in the wilderness. Humanity is dying from the poison of sin, just like the people of Israel who died in the wilderness because of that venom of the serpents, the venom of the snakes that was within them. They in the wilderness, in their sin, they began to think high of themselves. That's what sin does. They began to complain against God and Moses. They complained in a manner which suggested that they thought they could do things better than God. That is what complaining is about. You think you can do better than God and Moses, his servant. Friends, to complain against God is a sin of unbelief. It is to doubt that God can make things better. People make accusations towards God. And you might have made such accusations yourself. Words like, if God exists, why such and such is happening to me? As though you are this one of those most special people in the world. If God really loves me, how can this happen to me? How can bad things happen to good people? I don't know where you get that verse, because there's no good people. You're accusing God, thinking that we can do things better than God. If God loves me, why am I suffering? If God loves me, why is my child dead? Why is my child lying there? I must bury my child. God loves me. Why is it happening? Friends, the sin of unbelief is very serious. And I want to tell you today, from the word of God, that the reason why people will be in the lake of fire, it is because of the sin of unbelief. Look at John chapter 3, verse 18. Look what the Bible says. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son, the Son of God. Unbelief leads to destruction. That is what was happening in the wilderness. That is what is happening in the life of Nicodemus, thinking that he's right with God, not seeing his need for salvation. The people began to die slowly, as the Bible tells us. Just like all of us in Adam, we began to die, but slowly. As they began to die slowly, they saw their need for God. Their need for God to intervene in their lives. Their need for God to come for them. They saw that God alone can restore them. They saw that God alone can restore their health. Only God can do that. We also, friends, are a dying people. I must put that before us today. As we are sitting here with thanksgiving in our hearts, we are a dying people outside the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem of sin has affected the whole human race, and it continues to do so, destroying the lives of men and women. We need to be restored. We need God to restore us. The Bible says God sent these fiery serpents, poisonous snakes. Indeed, he sent that in wrath and in judgment, as the sin of the people provoked him. But I want you to see that God also sent that as a means to point his people to himself. Sometimes suffering points people to God, back to God. He used that incident to point the people back to him. What does the Bible says? The people cried out to Moses. That is a proof that they saw their need for salvation. That is a proof that salvation is necessary. They could not move on in their lives. They could not live in peace. They could not enjoy their lives. They could not bear the thought of seeing their loved one lying on the floor, dead because of sin, dead because of sin of the adults, children who are, under quotation mark, innocent, dead because of the sin of their parents. Remember when Pastor Newton was preaching, he made an example of the war that is happening. He says he saw a child lying next to the sea, dead, shot by the ISIS people, lying there. What is the cause? Sin. Our sin. So they could not bear the thought of seeing their children, of seeing their loved one dying, lying there. So what did they do? They came to Moses. They called Moses. Moses, speak to God for us. But I want you to notice, not only did they see their need for salvation, God saw their need to be saved. They were dying. They were dying, and the snakes could not be stopped. The only way was for God to come in. The only way was for God to make a plan. The only way was for God to come up with a solution. And that is why God therefore commanded Moses to make that snake, to make that bronze serpent, and lift it up above the air, above the ground. They were dying. They come and cry to Moses. That's how salvation works, my friend. It is not a man-made idea. It is God's idea. It is God who says, Moses, lift up a bronze serpent. Let the people see a bronze serpent. It is God who's coming through for them. God is coming up with a solution. Their help could not come from anyone else but from God. Friends, in times of distress and turmoil, in times of perplexity and despair, God is the only solution. God is the only answer. He alone has that supernatural solution to all of our problems. God has the solution which no mere man, no mere man in this world can give. Moses could not help them. Moses could not do anything for them. It is a pity that today there are people who think that a prophet or a so-called apostle or a bishop can help them more than giving them the word of God. We need the word. We need to hear what God says. We need to hear God's solution. What is God's solution for my problem? Said that we run to things rather than running to God. We need God in our lives. The broken relationship is between God and man. And only God can restore that relationship. Not Moses, not any prophet. Only God can give strength to the weak. Only God can give joy. Only God can give peace and happiness. Only God can remove that grief within. Only God can restore us from that state of hopelessness. But I want to remind you before I move to my second point. Jesus is talking to a religious man. Jesus is talking to a temple attendee. Jesus is talking to a churchgoer, if you will. A respected man. A respected member of society. A man doing everything right in the eyes of the world. A rich man. A man who's got everything. A man who's got everything under control. Jesus is talking to this man. He says, you need to be saved. Why? Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not even one is righteous before God. And I wonder, my friends, if you see your need for salvation, a need to keep trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as the winds of life continues to blow against your ship, where do you stand? As life keep reminding you that you are not in control, life reminding you that this world is not your home, you're just passing by. My friends, do you have a genuine desire for God to set you free? Salvation is necessary. But secondly, what we see from this text is that salvation is available. Note that. Salvation is available. But please note, it is only available through Jesus Christ. Salvation is available, but only in Christ. Look at verse 14, the last part of verse 14. What does the Bible say? So must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Son of Man must be lifted up. A reference to the Messiah. Jesus said, as you remember that incident, in the same way, I must be lifted up above the earth. Friends, now we are looking at the substance, not the picture. The bronze serpent in the wilderness is the picture of salvation that was to come. Now we are looking at the substance. Now we have Jesus before us, not a picture. We are looking at the real thing. Jesus points to himself and to no one else. He does not care about Nicodemus' position and credential of this world. You may be a religious man. You may be a churchgoer. You may be a high tither. Jesus doesn't care. He says, to enter the kingdom of God, to seek God face to face one day, to find yourself in heaven, to find true deliverance, to stop sinning and start living for God, to stop dying and start living, you need Jesus. The solution is not in anything of this world. Nicodemus, the solution is not in the Torah. It is not in the five books of Moses. It is not in anything that you have read before. Do not search the scripture and think you're going to find life there. Yours truly. Look at me. The solution is not anywhere, my friends, as we sit here. The solution is in Jesus Christ. The solution is not in Durban, Ekuphakameni. The solution is not in Petersburg. The solution is not in Buddha. The solution is not in Mohammed. The solution is not in any of the Hindu gods. The solution is in no bishop. It is not in me. It is not in Baba Rasepe. The solution, Jesus Christ says, it is standing before Nicodemus. Him, Jesus Christ. He is the free gift of God for eternal life. That's very important, my friends. Because we are living in a context whereby people think that there are many ways to get to heaven. People think that there are many ways to meet God one day. There are many ways to be saved. But Jesus says there is but one way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You're looking at the way, Nicodemus. Regardless of how long, Nicodemus, you have followed God, salvation is only available through Jesus Christ. You can follow God as much as you want to follow God. But unless you are in Christ, you will die in your sins. I appeal. The solution is in Christ Jesus. Jesus makes that very clear to Nicodemus, saying, I must be put up. I must be lifted up. I must be put to death. I must be hanged on that tree. The Son of Man must suffer in order to appease the wrath of God, in order to redeem for himself a people for his name. In John 8:28, listen to what Jesus says to those who are writing down. John 8:28, Jesus says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. Listen to the next one. John 12:32-33. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. The Bible says he said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. Jesus was pointing to the cross. Friends, as far as scripture is concerned, the problem is greater than Moses. The problem is greater than any man. The problem is greater than any prophet ever lived. The problem is greater than Moses could handle. The problem is greater than knowing few verses. The problem is greater than waking up in the morning and come to attend the church. No ordinary man can help you. Not even the prophet of God can help you. Not even your pastor can help you. And in the same way, you cannot help yourself. The remedy for sin is the cross. The remedy for sin is the cross of Jesus Christ. where the sinless Lamb of God was nailed for the sin of man. That is the only way, my friends, to be reconciled to God. That is the only way, my friend, to be healed from the poison of the serpent. Only the cross can remove that chasm between God and man. Only the cross can be laid across in that gap whereby man should use the cross to cross over to life, whereby man should use the cross to reach God, and God reaching man, blessing him in Christ Jesus. The cross in the middle, where God is standing far from man and man standing far from God. Now the cross is bringing the two together in unity. The cross. Only through the cross God welcomes sinners in his palace. Only the cross brings rebels back to God's loving arms for peace and everlasting joy. Jesus says to Nicodemus, the cure in the wilderness was to look at the serpent on the pole. Listen to this one. The cure in the wilderness was to look at the serpent on the pole. What killed the people became what saved the people. Listen very carefully. What killed the people became what saved the people. This speaks of Jesus redeeming us from the curse of sin, whereby he became a curse for us, whereby he stood where we should, whereby he absorbed all of our sin upon him, and God looked at him and judged him for us. Can I have a hallelujah after that?
Hallelujah.
Thank you. It speaks of Jesus redeeming us from the curse by standing before God to be judged and punished for sinners. I want you to picture Moses having a hammer in his hand, having a bronze metal, having that bronze thing, hammering it, making it to a form of a snake. Picture that beating, that heart knocking on that bronze, to be made in a form of a snake, to be made in a form of that which killed his people. In the same way, the glorious Son of God, the glorious sinless Lamb of God, came down from heaven and took on our flesh and dwelt among us. He took our likeness, except our sinful nature, and he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. The reason we have peace with God is because of him, the punishment that landed upon him. And with his wounds, the Bible says, we are healed. Remember Moses hammering the bronze, making it to a snake. Jesus crucified, rejected, beaten and bruised for us. Friends, there is no human way for redemption. There is no human way that the soul can be saved. There is no solution for the deadly poison of sin but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He is the remedy which turned the wrath of God away from us by absorbing it in his body, by giving himself up to become a ransom for us, by willing to be shaped, to be made in the form of human nature, sinful man, by willing to be formed and by willing to suffer shame on our behalf, bringing sinners hand to hand, face to face with God, reconstructing that communication bridge which was broken and destroyed by sin, and finally offer us perfect righteousness. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And indeed, my friend, on that cross of shame and suffering, the Son of God was lifted up above the earth, so that those bitten by snakes and full of the deadly venom running through their bodies will lift up their eyes and look up to heaven for their help, that they will lift up their eyes in faith and repentance and be saved. On that cross, he died for the ungodly. While we were still weak, while we were still sinners, while the poison, venom, was still running through within us, While in the process of dying, Christ came for us. He came in the picture and rescued us. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the solution of the dead world. He's a solution for you. He's a solution in your marriage. He's a solution in your finances. He's a solution in everything. But above all, He's a solution for your salvation. You can have everything else. If you don't have this, you have nothing. He's a solution for the sin of the world. The solution for the sin of men. All people, everywhere, from every tribe, every nation, every language. He hanged on that cross, not to give a temporal life, but eternal life. He hanged on that cross to absorb that poison of sin within us and to give us a complete and a perfect life before God, a perfect spiritual healing He gave to us, and He restored us to God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, and He's saying to all of us this morning, salvation is available only through Him and in nothing else. Thirdly, what we see here is that salvation requires response. It is not only necessary, it is not only available, it requires response. Look at verse number 15. It says that whosoever believe in Him may have eternal life. Friends, the response is not to raise your hands in the church. The response is not for you to come forward and be prayed for. That is good to those who does that. I don't. But the response is not in that. The response is not in church attendance. It is greater than that. The response is to believe on Jesus Christ. The response is to look and live. Just as the people did in the wilderness. Look and live. And if you have not started there, if you have not yet looked, you are not alive. If you have not started there, there is no life in you. Believing in Him speaks of having faith on Him. It speaks of depending and trusting on Him. Jesus reminds Nicodemus that the life which was received in the wilderness was temporal. But there is eternal life, my friends, as you look in verse 15, going down to verse 16. There is eternal life. He tells this religious man. He tells this self-righteous man that religion does not give eternal life. Even if that religion teaches about God, but religion does not give eternal life. Only through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the sinful, rebellious Israelites lifted up their eyes to that lifted up serpent. In that way, we must look to Jesus and live. Those who looked on that serpent on the wilderness, they lived. So it shall be with anyone this morning who lift up their eyes, the eyes of the Spirit. Those who will lift up their soul and surrender their soul on the feet of the cross. Those who will cast their burdens upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The serpent's poison will do you no further harm. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the venom of sin will do you no further harm. I want you to notice here that the Bible does not say that when the people look on that bronze serpent, the snake stopped to bite them. The Bible doesn't say that. The poison, however, the poison within them stopped to be functional. The poison within them could not harm them anymore. And the poison from without, the poison from outside, should any snake continue to bite, it had no further harm against them. The venom could not penetrate them. Friends, we are living in a fallen world, but we are not belonging in the world, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that we have looked unto the cross doesn't mean that the snake stops to bite. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But it does mean that the venom of sin is no longer your problem within you. if you look unto the cross. Of course, we continue to be sinful until we are glorified. We continue to be sanctified through the word of God. But I'm talking about the sin that you did when you were still in the world. Does not continue to penetrate. You need, friends, to feel that burden of sin upon you. You need to feel the great separation between you and God. You need to feel the poison of sin running through your veins, as it were, causing you to lose strength and drawing you closer to damnation, drawing you closer to the flames of hell. Unless you feel that, you will not look upon the cross. Remember, they felt it. They saw their little ones, their friends dying. They called unto Moses, until we see we have sinned against God, we will not call for help. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. See your sinfulness. Call unto Him. Lord Jesus, save me. Recognize your sin. Run to the Savior. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Help my unbelief. Heal my wounded soul. Heal my broken spirit. I'm desperate for you. I am hungry for you. Save me by your grace. Friends, be willing to turn away from your ignorance. Put it upon yourself to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Put it upon yourself to lift up your eyes to the risen Lord, and immediately your old life will be taken away. Behold, something new will be put in your heart. Church, friends, I am convinced that a person can give thanks to God only as he understands the truth I was speaking about this morning. A person can only give thanks to God if he has passed through this stage or this experience I'm talking about. A person who has experienced salvation can give genuine thanks or thanksgiving to God. His thanksgiving will come from an understanding and appreciating heart. And if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know most have, this message comes as that good, refreshing tonic of the soul. You realize whom you have believed. You realize how much God has loved you. That's what you see this morning. And you continue to give thanks to God for Jesus. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a greater reason to thank God for Jesus today. And thank God for Jesus throughout your life. And if you have not believed in Him, the question is, what are you waiting for? Please answer yourself, what are you waiting for? Stop looking at your religion. Stop looking at your own achievements. Stop looking at your own religious involvement in the church. Look unto Jesus and live. The Bible says in Numbers 21, where we read in verse 8, whoever who is beaten when he sees the bronze serpent shall live. And here is an encouragement to you, my friend, to those who have already believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Never take your eyes away from the cross. Never take your eyes away from that risen Lord. Remember the love that drew salvation for you. Remember the love of God for sending His Son into the world, specially for you. Remember the grace that brought down that love to you. Remember the years you've spent in the past, the years you spent in vanity and pride, not caring that Jesus was crucified for you. Yet, living, He loved you. Dying, He saved you. Buried, He carried your sin away. Rising, you were justified freely in Him. And one day, He's coming for you. Oh, that glorious day. He is coming for you to take you home so that where he is, you may be also. Oh, that glorious day. Lord, come. We await for that day where the whole world will see who are the children of God as we come to him, as we see him face to face, as he welcomes us home, as the trumpet sound, and we are taken to meet the Lord in the air. As he comes for us, that is found only in believing. That is your encouragement, my friend, this morning. So after going through this word of God this morning, my friend, you are left with an obligation. An obligation to thank God for Jesus. An obligation to give thanks to God for salvation. An obligation to give thanks to God for the gift of repentance by which without no one shall see God. No one can escape the wrath to come but through Jesus Christ. So we are reminded this morning, we are reminded in this Thanksgiving of the need for salvation, the need to escape the jaws of hell through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and living for him, the need for unity and peace, the peace of God, the peace with God. Three important truths we have learned this morning in support of the theme, Jesus was lifted up for you. Salvation is necessary. No one shall see God without. Salvation is available only through Christ Jesus. Salvation requires response. Believe and obtain eternal life. Look and live. And only then, my friends, you will give thanks to God with an understanding. Only then, may the good Lord bless your souls as you are reminded of the truth why we give thanks to God. Christ was lifted up for us that we may be saved, that we may be called the children of God, that we may sit here in suffering, in whatever trouble of this world, but knowing that one day we shall enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. The Lord bless you as we pray.